everybody, and welcome to another episode of I Could Talk Kayfabe. I'm Joe.
I'm Sean.
And last night I watched the went back and watched the first episode of NXT on WWE Network. Mm-hmm. Just because I didn't really get into NXT until later on, and then the network had like the top 25 guys to come out of NXT special, and it's only like a 15 minutes long, and they only do like the first five. And then I didn't realize that like all these guys that were in NXT were champs. Like I didn't know Big E was an NXT champ. I didn't know
Bo Dallas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I was like, I need to go back and watch NXT because these guys looked awesome in NXT and they were just ruined on the main roster. So I went back and I watched the first episode. The main event was Tyson Kidd versus Mike McGillicuddy, who's now Curtis Axel.
Right.
And I was like, okay, I could see where they were trying to go with that. But what caught my attention was the Ascension. So Victor was actually a jobber in another match. But what the hell happened to Connor? Holy cow. Connor used to be like jacked and he looked good.
Yeah. You know, he did. He was. I remember because he was actually in the third or fourth season of NXT, where his pro was Alberto Del Rio.
Yeah.
And yeah, he was in much better shape back then.
He was in great shape. He had hair.
Yeah.
He had abs. Like he looked like Batista, honestly.
Yeah.
And the Ascension, the original Ascension, they had another guy, I forget whose name escapes me.
It was Kenneth Cameron.
Yeah.
Who was the wrestler, and he ended up. But no, see, now I'm blanking. I'm trying to think. Was he Bram in and TNA?
I know he went to TNA afterwards. Okay, probably, yeah.
I think it's Bram. He was Bram. He was the wrestler Bram in TNA, and he, you know, he had a bunch of angles. He used to be married to Ric Flair's daughter too, Charlotte.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Now he used to have a different gimmick, and he used to have what's her face? Eddie Guerrero's daughter was their manager, or no? Was it? See, I'm blanking now. You watched it? You tell me.
I don't know. I only watched the first episode, but. Where the hell Ascension was at that time and where they what they've turned into is just like it's the saddest state of affairs I've ever seen.
But that's what they do in the main roster. That's what they want to do. They want to bring these guys in. They want to, you know, they don't really have a long-term plan for them. And I know that's one of those things where they're like, oh, we're just going to make sure we have a long-term plan for these guys. And a lot of times they don't. I think a lot of times they just get desperate, they bring them up, and then they let them flounder, you know. And the Ascension was pretty much dead right out of the gates,
yeah.
You know, when they came up to the main roster, because they just put them in those angles where it's like, oh, nobody could, you know, they're not good enough to be here kind of angles. So they had the APA and the, you know, the fucking Road Dogg and Jesse, you know, and Mr. Billy Gunn beat them up. And who gives a shit,
yeah,
you know, why would I give a shit after that? It's like, you know, they're not actually performing, you know, and doing things that stand out.
Then there was a weird angle where Fandango, who I guess his name was Johnny Curtis back then.
He was Johnny Curtis, yeah.
He was like throwing up in the toilet. And this other guy was like, you told me to see you in your office. And he's like, yeah, this is my office. And then he's like, aren't you going to wash your hands? And he's like, I'm clean. And he wiped his hands on the guy's shirt. And I guess that was his opponent for the next week. And it was just different. I just saw like NXT was like, I don't know. It was just completely different. And these guys were great in NXT. And now they come to the WWE main roster. And it's just makes me not want to watch any of it anymore. Because it makes me love NXT. And then I'm going to watch them get ruined by going to the main roster. But then like I started watching the second episode. But by then I was too tired and went to bed. But Seth Rollins was like a metalhead and like had metal music and came to the ring. He was like moshing. Like,
yeah, that's kind of like just Seth Rollins in real life. Like he's a big, you know, like new metal guy. Like me and Seth Rollins, 2002 Sean and Seth Rollins would be friends.
Yeah.
We'd be pretty good friends. But, you know, he's, that was just his thing. You know, he did like, and he has this, and I don't know why they still kept it, but they saw him do it once and they still have him do it. Where he has like this taunt where he like flails his arms and does some punching and stuff like that. And that's in the game. It's always been in the game, but he doesn't do that anymore.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not even sure what his taunts are, but I know it's not that. Cause I never see him do it during the match, but they have him do it in the game all the time. And that's just, I think he even asked, he's like, why the hell did you have me do that? It's like, well, I saw you do it once. So now you're doing it. Anyways, anything else on NXT? What else do you think?
No, I'm going to go back, like you were saying in the last episode, how you're going to watch all of World Class. I'm going to go back and catch myself up on NXT.
Oh, you got a lot of work, you got your work cut out for you.
I do. I sure do. But I really feel like I jumped on board too late because, like, I didn't really start watching it until, like, Enzo and Cass were there. And even then.
They were there for a long time before that, too.
Yeah. And it's like, even then, I was just like, even up until now, I'm still just casual. I just, like, I'll read the results and I don't really watch it. So it's like, yeah, I need to just start watching it. So I'm just going to buckle down. I'm going to marathon for you a few episodes today after you leave. And I'm just going to watch NXT.
Do it.
Yeah. And I'm gonna talk about it more on this podcast.
Well, I'm gonna do that. I'll do that more with my World Class watch. We watch. I gotta start talking more about that because I've only watched a few episodes, and I gotta go back and start digging in and maybe take some notes.
Maybe we should write blogs.
Yeah, man. Let's write some blogs. Let's get on that train.
The blog, the Tumblr. Maybe we could use our Tumblrs. Yeah.
Here's the thing. Every time we start talking about things we could do, I always am like, oh, man, that's going to require me to do a lot more
exactly.
work.
Exactly. We're not going to do any
of that. Because I'm like saying, I got my day job. Yeah. You got your day job. Yeah. You know, Joe's getting fit. I'm a sloth.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, I'm always exercising now.
You know?
I'm a machine.
You know, man, but you're looking good. You know? Yeah. I mean, I'm doing better than I was, but I got, man, I just feel out of it. And,
yeah.
You know, I'm getting over this cold. And I just, here's the thing. Right now, my mindset, like, I've had this cold for the past couple of days. So I've been in this mindset that I'll never feel better again. You know, like, I'm right now, like, you could talk to me, you know, talk to me in a week from now, and I'll be like, what, I had a cold? Yeah, I'm better.
Yeah.
But,
whereas I feel my nose is running too, but I had a cold like 9 months ago. And I have some prescription cold medicine in my medicine cabinet. So if this cold is bad, I'm just going to knock it out with some of those.
Well, I went out and got a bunch of NyQuil type
pills. I've got cough syrup with codeine in my medicine cabinet. So I'm set. Like, if it's coming, bring it on.
Yeah, let's do it. You could take it down like the Warrior did.
That's right.
For his WrestleMania showdown.
Yeah.
But the thing I wanted to talk about, because before we get to our book, which is going to be a Wrestling World, the Warrior on a cover, I want to talk about this real quick. I watched, by chance, because it was just on the network, Halloween Havoc 94, but I only watched the main event.
Okay.
Which was Hogan versus Flair, career versus career, for the title in a cage. And Mr. T is the referee, which I forgot that he was a referee for this. But
Why would Ric Flair sign up for that? Like, you know that they're buddies.
Yeah, exactly.
He was Hogan's corner man in his Bash at the Beach match against you.
He was his first tag team partner at WrestleMania. Did you forget about all this? But apparently so. But, you know, I'm sure T was like, I'm going to call it down the middle, fool, whatever, you know. And they are doing this match, and it's your typical Hogan-Flair match in a cage. And Flair's bumping all over the place. Hogan's, you know, beating the shit out of him. And then it just goes off the rails because Mr. T gets bumped. Mr. T got fucking bumped to the point where, like, he actually, like, gets, like, hit. Flair, like, runs into him. Or I think I can't remember if he took a shot or something, but he actually gets bumped. And I've never seen that. I mean, I always feel like Mr. T, like, you don't touch Mr. T, you know, unless if he was actually wrestling in his match.
Well, maybe mid-80s Mr. T you don't touch, but by 94, nobody gives a shit. So touch him all you want.
Well, I guess they're bumping him like fucking crazy. And then Sherry, because Sherry was with Flair at the time, Sherry's coming in, and she's climbing the cage. She's throwing her shoe in, and then like Sting is like shows up, because Sting didn't wrestle in the event. He just sat in the front row and without his face paint, just sat in the front row watching the match. And so he comes out of the crowd, he pulls Sherry off. She, you know, somehow she gets loose again, comes back in the cage, and they're bumping the shit out of her to the point where it was Flair and Stinger in the match. Hogan's doing like double clothesline to both Flair and Sherry. Like, she's getting her ass kicked. It is wild. And this is the one where the masked man shows up, and they do a thing where he has the pipe, and he's been the masked man's been attacking Hogan. Mm-hmm. So the masked man shows up, and he has this pipe. And so what they do is he hangs the pipe. I feel like there's somebody else that showed up to this match too. No, it's just Sherry. That's right. It was just Sherry and Flair, and they took this pipe and he hangs it like vertically into the cage, and they throw Flair into, or Hogan into it, so he hits the pipe. You know, they knock him out or whatever, and chaos. It is, you have to see it. It is just chaotic, and I was getting pumped. I was like,
is that the one where after the match when Hogan won, right, they unveiled the who the masked man was?
The masked man gets hacked and ends up being Ed Leslie.
Yeah,
you know, and it's this big dramatic reveal and yeah, stuff, and it's
Brother Brutai. I remember Brother Tony Schiavone, you know, saying,
it's like, "Oh no, he's,"
because you couldn't call him Brutus Beefcake.
No, that's right, because Kevin Sullivan showed up. Yeah. That's right, because then Kevin Sullivan and the Kevin Sullivan and
Earthquake, right?
Or yeah, the Avalanche showed yeah up, and they're beating up Hogan, and it's
I'm
just
gonna have to go back and watch it because I remember watching it, but I don't remember being all that crazy.
And just and then yeah, just go back and watch it. It is one of those things where you're like, you're just like, you're not. I'm just kind of like, ah, whatever. Hogan and Flair, I don't give a shit. And then you're like at the end, you're like, fuck yeah! Like I was like, I wanted to fucking punch somebody. Like Sherry is going nuts. Like, cause you don't. I mean, cause that's the thing about it. God bless Sherry, Sensational Sherry, R.I.P. She was awesome. Because she is diving off the cage. She's wearing a dress. She's diving off. No, that's right. Because Jimmy Hart tore off her skirt. She's wearing, like, lingerie. She's diving off the cage. She's taking double clotheslines from Hogan. I mean, it's not. They're bumping her like fucking crazy. And Flair's all over the place. It's awesome. And just go back and watch it. You'll want to go out and just conquer the day. It is unbelievable. I've talked too much about the match. No, but I was almost psyched now, man. It's good stuff.
As you were talking about it, they were showing Rams highlights, and Robert Woods went 94 yards for a touchdown today. And I'm just thinking, him and Sammy...
Oh, Bills highlights.
Robert Woods and Sammy Watkins were the Bills wide receivers last year, and now they're just the best wide receivers in the NFL, and they play for the Rams.
Wait, Sammy Watkins on the Rams too?
Yeah.
Hey, our hometown team! I forgot about that. I was like, St. Louis, who gives a fuck? Oh, no, wait, that's our team.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, we got a shot. Man, I can't wait. I can't wait for my team to go to the Super Bowl this year.
they actually do have a shot. They are very good. Oh, man. Oh, Buffalo Bills.
Oh,
so
Bills.
Depressing. This is still the same Sunday that we're recording last week's podcast. The Bills just got their asses kicked today.
They did.
God.
All right. Well, let's take our break.
We're going to come back. We're going to talk Wrestling World. And Staley Wayne Manor is going to be excited because we're going to discuss him too.
We're going to put him over. Stay tuned.
Hey, I'm Jen.
And I'm Sean. We're here to tell you about our podcast, Worst Collection Ever.
And this is the show where we tell you about the worst comic book collection in existence. And it just happens to belong to us.
We have some of the worst comics from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. They're bad. They're not worth anything.
No good.
Why do we own them? I own a number of issues of Terror Inc. and Guy Gardner.
Basically, we go around to local comic book stores and we buy everything we can out of dollar boxes.
We tell you about the weird stuff in them. We tell you about stuff that's related to them. We go into tangents and we're very uninformed. So,
oh my God, totally. But totally check out our podcast because you'll hear us just talk and joke about Marvel books and DC books from God only knows when.
That's right. It's our show, Worst Collection Ever, every Tuesday on iTunes, Stitcher, anywhere you get your podcasts. Download, rate, subscribe, tell a friend.
It'll be good and terrible, but good.
All right, so we have Wrestling World from May of 91.
Yeah.
And 10 super color pinups, and I will be hanging them all up on my wall because this magazine's not in great of shape.
There's some great color pinups.
Yes, there definitely are. You have the Warrior on the cover.
You have the Warrior, and on the covers, you have the Piper.
Yeah.
You got a
Earthquake. Everyone's been dead.
I like that singlet.
Everyone's dead so far.
Yeah, they're savage.
They're savage. R.I.P.
I don't know. Let's look at the other ones
so
real quick.
So if you're me, which side do you hang? Do you hang Earthquake or do you hang Savage?
I'd do Savage.
See, that's where you're wrong, because I'm doing Earthquake.
Okay. And we got Flair in the flesh-colored shorts.
Yes, I love it.
We got a Sting one.
Unshaven-legged Flair, too, by the way. His legs were pretty hairy. Yeah.
And they're always kind of hairy. Well, wow, actually, Jesus Christ, he's a werewolf in this one.
Yeah. Oof.
You got Sting, you got Hitman Bret Hart.
Yeah, Hitman. Centerfold of Hogan.
Hogan, this is a great shot, by the way.
Yeah, I'm going to hang that, definitely.
And then you got Steiner. Actually, we get a close-up on Steiner's trunks here.
Yeah, which is unfortunate.
Yeah, because a bunch of Russian writing. Oh, does he work for Trump?
Oh, maybe. Because I would love to hang that photo of Steiner up, because it's just a weird photo.
You got some Luger and some very vivid purple shorts.
Mm-hmm.
And then the Warlord.
The Warlord's getting hung up. Yeah. The Warlord. Sorry, Brett, but the Warlord's getting hung
up. It's not even a good picture of the Warlord. No. It's just him standing there.
And it's great. And it's the Warlord, and I love it.
It is. And then you have like a lot of really good talent, and you have the Warlord.
Yeah.
I like it. You go pretty slow for 91, and then you get to like, because once you get to Earthquake and Steiner, you're like, oh, you're still kind of up there because they're still kind of hot. And then it goes down.
Yeah.
And then you go Warlord, and you're like, oh, okay. I got shown there. But yeah, 10 color photos. Unbeatable, the Ultimate Warrior, pumped for WrestleMania Showdown.
Yeah.
And then Mr. Wonderful, Paul Orndorff, an exclusive interview.
Okay.
I'm going to talk to Paul Orndorff. Special feature, Matt Maniacs, the wrestling's most feared villains. And then at the top, we have Rowdy Roddy Piper's return. Rowdy Roddy Piper returns to Ring Wars.
Wow, I didn't know there was a Ring Wars.
Yes.
And he's coming back.
He's the general.
Yeah.
General Piper.
And Texas Tornado tearing up the WWF.
Goddamn right.
Rating the top 50 wrestlers. That should be interesting.
They do that all the time. That's just their ratings.
Oh, that's their ratings.
They're just trying to make it a big deal.
It is a big deal.
So here's your IWA, the Imaginary Wrestling Association.
That's the one I was thinking of. Yeah. Love that one.
Well, we're going to actually have to reference that a little bit here, because when we get to our letters page, well, first, before we get to the letters page, here's the rating.
Right off the bat, ratings, top 50.
Well, that's how this book does it. They just put the ratings right out there. The Mattingly Sports Bureau. This is, by the way, Wayne Manor book.
Yeah.
Which we'll find out in a bit. Here he is rating his wrestlers. Because I assume he is the sports bureau.
The Mattingly Sports Bureau. Mattingly spelled EY.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Hulk Hogan, number one. See, I don't think Stately Wayne Manor would rank Hulk Hogan number one, but then again, what do I know? So, I see. Never mind, because they did the two champions and then the top 50.
Yeah, Sting and Warrior at number one.
Yeah.
And then you just go down the list. And it's basically your who's who of who's in on top of the WWF and WWE and WCW.
And you have Stan Hansen at number four.
Well, you got some Japan. You got Japan wrestlers, and here you got Jumbo Tsuruta and Akira Maeda and Misawa and Chosu and all those guys. And then Paul Orndorff in here randomly for 91. Paul Orndorff, he isn't really doing much.
I think they just put him over because they have interviewed him.
Yeah, he's one of those guys that like on the independents, like they just put him in things.
Yeah,
because I always felt like a name like him and like Snuka and who's probably in here, I'm assuming. I have to have seen him in here.
I don't know, 91 Snuka?
91 Snuka.
I don't think he's making the top 50 of anything.
You know, that's actually pretty impressive that he didn't make it. Because you're almost a lock if you're talking about, anytime between, 87 and 94, you're talking about Snuka at some point.
Yeah.
But, he's like him or Paul Orndorff or, Volkoff or... there's a few other guys that they'll just put their names on these magazines and be like, hey, Paul Orndorff in here. And you're like, oh, I remember Paul Orndorff.
Yeah, yeah.
He's not doing anything, but you remember him, and you're interested. And that's how they get you. That's how they get you.
Yeah.
That's how Stately Wayne Manor gets you. So the Matt Mail, here's the IWA, the Imaginary Wrestling Alliance.
Oh, okay.
The heat is on. Dear Matt Mail, IWA beware. I am now entering the best wrestlers you have ever seen. I don't know them personally, but I think the Animal Brothers, or the Zoo Brothers, as I like to call them, need a lesson in manners.
They do.
You wouldn't like to meet the 7-foot-tall, 415-pound Dr. X. He eats the Animal Brothers for dinner. Or maybe you would like to be defeated by Spike, 6'8", and 300 pounds. That's a mean man. By the way, the Zoo Brothers, you can address them as... Brian, the Bloodhound Radford. You can address them as... By the way, Zoo Brothers. Oh, he's calling out the Zoo Brothers.
Yeah, he's calling them out.
Okay, he's calling out... By the way, Zoo Brothers, you can call me Brian, the Bloodhound Radford. And Zoo Brothers, one last thing. If you think that's all, you two guys are going to get your butts kicked so bad, you'll be glad it's just imaginary. Oh, by the way, anyone else want to mess with my wrestlers? I don't care if Devastation or anyone else gets in my way. Brian, the Bloodhound Radford... Brooklyn, New York.
Okay. I guess he took it very seriously.
He sure did.
Yeah.
Look at that fire. That's some hot fire in the mat mail.
Yeah.
I don't know if Stately Wayne Manor wasn't ready for it. He probably opened that letter and it came right out. Fire came out.
Yeah.
Somebody's calling out the Stately Wayne Manor.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Somebody's calling him out.
I just finished reading the January 1991 issue of Wrestling World. I loved it until I reached page 10, Stately States.
Oh.
I can't stand him. Who on earth does he think he is calling the best NWA champ the Stinger? The Stinker. Oh, he got him there. And the best WWF champ, the Hulkster, the Dumpster.
Oh, it could have been typos. I'll give Stately Wayne Manor the benefit of the doubt.
I do like calling Hulk Hogan the Dumpster. Let me tell you something, brother. I'm going to drop the leg trash compactor on you.
Yeah.
By the way, the Sting is not a paint puss. There's no reason why Stately should make fun of Sting, Hulk, and Tugboat, Norman, the Ultimate Warrior, and so on. Now, whether you're with me or not, write me. Let's get Stately out of the magazine for good. Christy Martin, Tulsa, Oklahoma. So.
Oh, it was by a woman.
Yeah.
Oh, it sounded like a dude.
No, she is not.
You know what?
You're gonna have to work real hard to get him out of here because he kind of is the magazine.
Yeah, it's kind of his thing.
Kind of is the thing.
Yeah.
So
what is Stately stating in this issue?
Well, he says before we get into this is actually pretty awful, but I still like it. Before we get into this issue's column, I must discuss a typographical error that appeared in last Stately States.
Oh.
The line which caused a quite a deal of controversy referred to Terry Funk's puppy lynching festival.
Oh, lynching festival.
We received calls and letters from knee-jerk animal rights groups, pouting parents of crybaby kids, and other useless sissies. Just to set the record straight, lynching was a misprint. Did any of you simpletons think Terry and I would actually string up the little doggies? We drowned them. It's a lot more fun. You know what? I he's a good heel.
Yeah.
Shout out to Stately Wayne Manor for going hard.
I love how he's always got the Weekly World News magazine covers on his t-shirts.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of his thing. Here, let's read his rumor, gossip, and tidbits.
Oh, okay.
Let's see here. After listening to his interviews, I must admit Dustin Rhodes is as sharp as a pin. A bowling pin, that is. Just found out that Shane Douglas was a four-letter man in college. J-E-R-K. Man, that's going hard on Shane Douglas in 91.
Yeah.
He ain't doing anything. He's just doing things at WWF. He's not really a big name then.
No, he's trying to make a name for himself.
Man, leave him alone.
He had an impressive run in the Rumble.
Lou Albano is a captain, Adnan is a general, and De Beers is a colonel. But did you know Tom Zenk is referred to as a major by his old classmates? Yeah, well, they actually call him a major disappointment.
Oh.
I thought there was a really dirty joke coming. I thought there was something like he was major, or I don't know, they're going to call him a rear admiral or something. Actually, this is a good one. Lastly, Doug Gilbert tells me Bill Dundee is the biggest tightwad in the sport. Rumor has it, Super Snore is so cheap he goes to the strangers' weddings just to catch free rice.
That is a good one. I like that one. I was thinking he's gonna go with an open bar, but catch free rice, that's pretty clever. They don't throw rice at weddings anymore.
Hey, Bill Dundee's so short he could probably go catch free rice without being detected.
Yeah, it's true.
he had an advantage there. So here's our Matt segment. Mike Mazursky is dead.
Oh, R.I.P. Mike Mazursky.
Died when he was 80 years old.
Oh, that's tragic.
Here's a picture of him.
Oh.
He's a guy who was a wrestler, and he played wrestlers in movies.
Nice horizontal striped suit that he's got on there.
That is a nice suit. It's very old. He was 80 when he was at the time of his death. This is 1964. He looks like he's 80 there.
Yeah.
Oh, God, man. I wonder how old. He was one of those guys that was always old. Yeah, so that's what's going on here. Also, Pen Pal Alley, I do want to nothing really much to report here other than the fact that you want to be a pen pal, send us your name and age and all that stuff, and it gives the address, and it just has a random picture of Tom Zink pointing at you.
Oh, Tom Zink,
the major disappointment, Tom Zink. I do like this because it's kind of like Mad Magazine where they have those little cartoons in the corner. You just have a random picture of Tom Zink in the corner. just maybe like a little like flip book of him like slowly pointing at you. Because Tom Zink, but you back in, Tom Zink had a thing going in 90, 91. He had a deal going. People were just like, hey, Tom Zink, you're a hip dude.
Yeah.
We like you. Here's a Gloob figure. Go make some money. Ultimate Warrior, he beat Hulk Hogan.
Oh, you know, good for him.
Yeah, I don't care about war. There's just a lot of it's just like, oh, is he going to be as good of a draw? No, probably not. You know, who's going to be his challengers? Piper, maybe. You know, who will he lose the belt to? Will he lose the belt at the next WrestleMania extravaganza? He didn't even make it to WrestleMania.
No, he lost at the Royal Rumble.
Man, that's back in the day, he used to be able to hold titles for like a couple years.
Yeah, he went like 9 months, which would be impressive by today's standards, but I'm still bummed that they took the belt off Jinder Mahal already.
Really?
After 6 months, it's like, we're done.
No, but you know what? They're going to do it so they can have a good match with him and AJ, with AJ and...
Brock
at Wrestle at Survivor Series, put the belt back on Jinder for the India tour, and that's what they're gonna do. And yeah. then they'll take it back off him again. But that's what they wanted to do. I think that's what. So I just heard that idea, and I was like, yeah, you know what? That makes sense. Yeah, you know, I mean, I'm not a fan of Jinder Mahal. He just bores me.
I'm a fan because he's awful, and that's why
I'm not even a fan because he's bad. He just doesn't really stand out. Granted, I don't watch enough of the regular programming as it happens to really appreciate what he does, but it's very much like, it feels like a very like honky tonk man kind of gimmick where he's just like, he's got people to help him win, you know, or he finds ways to get around it. And it's, I don't know. I'm just not a fan. I'm not a fan, Joe.
I am. He's a modern day Maharaja.
Yeah. Well, you can, whatever. Yeah. That was one of the trophies you have to get. In the WWE 2K 17,
yeah. I think I did get it.
If you play as him and you win a match, that's how you get it.
I don't think I got it.
You get like random trophies. It's just like, hey, play as this guy and you get a trophy.
Yeah, I looked online. There was a few that I got. I beat The Miz. I don't remember, but I got a few trophies.
Yeah, there's one for The Miz. There's a few others that probably I haven't done yet.
Yeah.
But we'll see. World Wrestling World exclusive, the good news, bad news report. And basically, they'll just list the wrestler and just be like, here's good news about them, here's bad news about them. And I mean, this is pretty long.
Yeah, what's good about Ron Simmons?
Well, let's see. Let's see what's good about Ron Simmons. Oh, well, it doesn't say. It just says Ron Simmons. Let's see, what's good about Ron Simmons? Ron Simmons should be a huge superstar in the NWA if anyone else has the sense to recognize his potential. The bad news is that he's been hindered by Doom.
Oh, hindered by Doom. Well, wasn't much longer after that.
So this is right before they figured out they had to break him apart. Yeah, because you got Stan Hansen is still kicking around here. Well, it's funny because they talk about like Scott Steiner, they talk about Ron Simmons, but they don't talk about Butch Reed or Rick Steiner. It's kind of gloss over those two guys. So who knows? Every time I see bad news, though, I always think they're talking about Bad News Brown. I was like, oh, man, they're going to talk about Bad News Brown. It's like, no.
No.
Disappointed. When's he going to get into the game? We were talking about this earlier, about how you had a good creative wrestler for him. I actually gave him a better vest.
Oh, okay.
It was really important that I did that.
Yeah.
UWF Superstars, because we're talking Herb Abrams, UWF.
Yeah.
B. Brian Blair and the Steve the Wild Thing Ray. And so you've got like a tale of two wrestlers. You got, you know, Brian Blair, who's an old, you know, older star, who apparently is only 33 at this point.
Older by years in the business, though. Yeah. In the spotlight.
I didn't realize he was that young at that point. Yeah. I mean, it always seemed like maybe he was, I don't know, I guess like when he was wrestling in the WWF or in the WWF, yeah, he was, I didn't realize how young he was. You know, he's probably very, you know, because he was still kind of early on in his career.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he probably started wrestling like in like 82, 83. Yeah, if we just kind of talk about him and talk about how, you know, Stevie Ray, who is the partner of Sonny Beach, who did make it into my game.
Oh, good.
I do have a Sonny Beach. However, you can't make a really good Sonny Beach because you don't really have the good short mullet flat top.
Yeah, it's not there.
You have mullets and you have flat tops, but you don't have them in the right proportion. And that's kind of a shame. But I didn't make a Sonny Beach. Probably have to make a Stevie Ray. But Stevie Ray is just, he's a guy, I don't know, surprised that he's a guy that never went anywhere because he got a good look. He looks like Jeff Jarrett, but like on the, but bigger, you know, and he would have probably stood out more, but no, he didn't do anything.
No, nothing.
You know, and Brian Blair, he's in the UWF and he's feuding with John Tolos and Bob Orton. And he took some time away from the WWF to be a health club manager.
Oh.
And that's how he makes his money. And now he's, what you call it? he's a councilman, I think, right?
Yeah, I know he ran for some kind of office over there, and he won. So
here's something he says here. He says, admitting to that the powers of B had no idea what to call the new tandem. He's talking about the killer bees. Brian explained that he solved the problem by turning to another sport he loved. That is football. I was a big Miami Dolphins fan, remembers, and I knew that they had a defense called the Killer Bees after a bunch of players whose names started with that letter. So I said to Vince, hey, how about the Killer Bees? And that was the start of everything.
That's breaking kayfabe because he's talking about Vince, the promoter.
Vince wasn't the promoter then. He was just an announcer.
Yeah.
We didn't know that.
And he would say, what a maneuver.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody made a YouTube compilation of every time Vince said, what a maneuver, in like 1995. And the video is like an hour long.
That was probably what a maneuver time for Vince, because he was probably like, anytime Haikuchi did something, he was like, oh boy, look at that. Dude, here's something that you kind of forget. Brian Blair's finisher, as a solo guy, was the Scorpion Deathlock.
Oh.
He used to use that. There he is, a picture of him using that.
He had a cool mullet and mustache back in the day.
I do want to read this. He did have a good combo. It's a nice trim mustache. Mm-hmm. Nice trim mustache. He had a good face. He had a good newscaster face. Good face like that. I do want to read this thing here about from 23-year-old Stevie Ray. Stevie Ray explains his origins this way. When I was 3 years old, I OD'd after swallowing my mom's birth control pills. It wasn't like I knew what they were. I just started swallowing them. As soon as my stomach was pumped at the hospital, the first thing I did was ask for a mirror and comb, because before long, I was flirting with all the nurses.
What?
I thought I couldn't. Here's the thing. So I didn't read that beforehand, but then I just saw like OD and I was like, oh, what's he talking about here? This doesn't make any sense. Like, he's a handsome guy. He looks like Joe Elliott or whatever.
He OD'd on birth control pills at 3 years old, and that's when he realized he was handsome.
Yes.
Yeah.
That's all it takes.
That's an interesting backstory.
Man, you imagine that'd be a great way to, that's a great gimmick. I OD'd and then I thought I was handsome.
I OD'd on birth control pills. You got to remember that part. Yeah. That's the most important part of the story, is that's what he OD'd on, birth control pills. That's going to be my backstory. It's like, I OD'd on birth control pills, and I realized how pretty I am.
Now I'm a wrestler.
And now I'm a wrestler.
I'm pretty Joe Todaro, guys. Pretty Joe Todaro, making his way to the ring.
Oh, my God.
That's all it takes to get some confidence in you. Where's the mind all? Somebody give me a box of Midol and go swallow it. My heroes have always been outlaws. This is like one of these like think pieces.
Yeah.
This is like a think piece in a wrestling magazine talking about how all the outlaws and all the heels are my favorites. You know, how this guy's favorites. And for some reason, we got like old pictures of like Iron Sheik, you know, when he was on the wrestling team.
The Missouri Mauler. I've never heard of him, but.
The Missouri Mauler is a picture of him posing with a picture of Jesse James.
Yeah.
Which, the picture of Jesse James looks like it's taken around the same time as this picture of the Missouri Mauler. I don't think it's a real picture.
Yeah.
And it just kind of goes on about, like, how all the wrestlers, like the heel wrestlers and the heel foreigners and stuff like that are much better than, are great wrestlers, and we shouldn't overlook them, and this is why my heroes and stuff. And
what's so foreign about the Missouri Mauler?
Well, just also because he's, but not that part too, but there's also like, he's also, you know, outlaws. Like, he was a fan, you know, he modeled himself after Jesse James. So, you know, he's also a bad guy, and this is why you should like the bad guys. Yeah. You know, I don't know. I that's kind of why I got out of it. It's really long though.
Yeah.
Too much. Spotlight on Piper. What's Piper doing? What's he doing in this picture? Is he just like slapping the ropes? What is he doing?
I don't know. Yeah, it looks like he's just slapping the ropes.
Is he spanking the ropes for being bad? I don't understand.
Bad rope.
you swallowed too many birth control pills. Now you think you're handsome. Oh, boy. Yeah, they're just talking. I don't know what we're talking about Flair before. We're just.
Oh, is like, we see him next to Jesse Ventura. Are they talking about their ill-fated television show?
Retired wrestler Jesse Ventura was upstaged by Piper when the Rowdy One slipped into his vacated WWF color spot during an argument with ringside announcer Vince McMahon. So basically, there's talk about how he... Yeah, I don't think we've reached tag team yet.
I think it's already past tag team.
No. This is before... No, because that tag team came out in the fall...
It was on the same day the Bills lost the Giants in the Super Bowl. That would have been 91, the 90 season.
But we haven't reached that yet because Warrior's still champion.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's right. We haven't gotten there yet.
Yeah, we're not talking about that yet.
Yeah, I get the dates confused because this is from 91, but the magazine actually came out in 90.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Entire history of the NWA, AWA, and WWF belts.
Okay.
All right.
Well.
Thanks.
Thanks for that.
Thanks for that.
That's lazy journalism right there.
This is like, hey, here's a bunch of stuff that happened.
Yeah, here's some filler.
Texas Tornado tearing up the WWF.
And they got a cool photo of him with the belt. Like, I guess he just won it. And it's in black and white, though. So that's
well, he's already lost the belt this time, too. Because it says he clutches the title he held briefly. I think this has happened. This is the cutoff point for this magazine is sometime after he's already lost the belt. Because he won the belt at SummerSlam. And he had it, I think, going into Survivor Series, and then he lost it after that. He wasn't around for very long.
And then, not too long after that, he did himself in.
Yeah. Yeah, they're talking here about how he was not really, they don't know if he was reliable and stuff, and, you know, but I guess they made it sound like he went to the WWF as now's the time I should go.
Yeah.
Not because it was out of necessity, but because he decided now's the time. Because I'm certain that if Texas was still a viable territory, he would stay there for the rest of his life.
I don't think he would have left.
Yeah, there's no reason for him to ever go. But yeah, that was basically it. So a lot of cool shots of Kerry. Paul Orndorff wrestling interview. I do like this picture of him. It's like he's breathing.
Yeah, he's breathing heavy.
And he's just like, boom.
Yeah, he looks like Dizzy Gillespie with his cheeks puffed out. Yeah.
And it's just, it's literally an interview. It's like, you started at this point. You did this. And I'm like, oh.
Yeah, what are you doing now? Oh, you know, wrestling. Oh, okay.
So why'd you take some time off? I was like, well, you know, it hurt my neck.
Yeah.
Oh, thanks. You know, and then it kind of starts talking about like the economics of wrestling as an independent wrestler in the 90s. In the 80s, and it's like, you know, do you miss the way wrestling was promotionally structured and all this stuff? And what's it like touring on the independents? And how do you feel about the UWF? And he's like, oh, I love it. And he actually does give Vince McMahon some props. He wishes him the best.
Oh, good.
So
only the best for Vince McMahon.
Yeah, so he's going to use that. So Northwest Canadian Wrestling News.
Nice.
And we get some wild photos here of some people here.
So, Northwest Canadian wrestling.
So, we're talking Vancouver.
No, that would be Southwest Canada.
No.
Think about it. That would be Southwest Canada. Vancouver's the southern part of Canada.
Okay, okay.
So, this is like Yukon territory wrestling, I guess.
Yeah, we're going way cold.
Yeah. Yeah, we're going like up north, northwest.
We had no pictures of the audience too, so because there's nobody there.
Yeah, because they're all frozen.
They're all frozen outside.
Yeah,
they couldn't get in on time. We've got Michelle Starr, who was that's a dude.
Mm-hmm. Well, in Canada, a lot of French guys are named Michelle. So.
Right, but he's kind of dressed like he's kind of got some effeminate effects going on here. Then you have Missy Hyatt ripoff Casey Houston. Who apparently, I don't know if she's a wrestler or not. She has her sights on Desiree Peterson. Yep. So apparently she's a wrestler.
Tag team with two guys with like hockey masks.
They're called the Ball Players.
Oh, okay.
Double Hitter and Top Gun.
Okay, because the one's got a hockey mask on. The other one's got like a football helmet with a mask underneath it.
I don't even know if he's wearing, but he's wearing, looks like he's dressed like he's going to play curling.
Yeah, it's so weird.
We got to make these guys. These guys are going to a tournament. The Ball Players.
The Ball Players.
Double Hitter and Top Gun. Because you can make these, because you got these helmets in
there. Yeah, you sure do.
You can just throw those guys in there. You don't even need to make faces for those guys.
No, you sure don't.
That's the great thing about them. You can just put some gimmicks on those guys, put some gear on those guys, and those guys are in your matches. And they're wrestling Sean and Joe in those matches, which, by the way, thank you for making me.
Yeah.
I think
that's pretty accurate with our body.
I don't know
types
why you had
too.
To take my. I don't know why I couldn't wrestle wearing a shirt.
No, we're not wearing shirts.
Fuck that, man. That's bullshit. I wanted to wear it. I was like, man, that kind of looks like my body. And I didn't appreciate it.
I made myself equally as fat.
I know, but I was like, you know, we can wear shirts.
Oh, we wear them to the ring, then you take them off to wrestle.
No, we're, you know, we're not.
I gave you two elbow pads.
Well, thank you.
I only have one.
Oh, okay.
I always liked that look when the guy only had one elbow pad. And I was pissed because, like, I had to give myself cargo shorts because they don't have just regular shorts. They have, like, jean shorts and then, like, trunks. But
they don't have regular shorts? They have, I wanted
gray pair of Dickies. That's what I wanted.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, I thought we had, you know, I don't know. I guess, I'll have to see. I'm going to make my face. I'm going to put my face in there. I'm going to see how I could make one myself and see how that looks. But, yeah, we're talking about Canadian wrestling. I didn't really read this, but the ball players, apparently the real name of the designated, so it's Top Gun, a designated hitter, and the real name of the designated hitter is Bill Jodoin.
Oh, okay.
So he's a real dude.
Oh, and I see.
Oh, and they've been wrestling against the Bowlers.
Oh, the Bowlers.
Which I don't see a picture of the Bowlers here. I'm very disappointed by that. I actually like to see a picture of the Bowlers.
I think there's a photo of Bill Wellington there.
Biff Wellington. No, Bill Wellington.
Yeah, it's Bill Wellington. I think that's the same guy, though. I think it's one and the same, Bill and Biff, interchangeable, like Rotundo Rotunda.
Ah, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Looks like Tedder City now. And then we have the Natural Chats with the Golden Sheik and Joe Aiello, who I can only assume is Danny Aiello's son. This looks like a... Man, I want to see TV of this.
Yeah, this looks like an interesting territory. This is like made the whole magazine worth reading.
CNWA, we got WFWA. We got to find this. Oh, we can get some VH. Can we get some VHSs? Wrestlers are very pleased with your mail. We can still send them mail.
Oh, okay.
Goddamn, man. Let's get some Canadian wrestling up in this, on our stuff here. So Takedowns on Tape, Paradise Alley, which was a movie that Sylvester Stallone was in and Terry Funk was in.
Oh, cool.
You can buy this for $60 on VHS.
I'm good. Thanks, though.
We don't need to do that. Yeah. And this is how they kind of wrap up their books. They have the Eastern reports and different reports.
Yeah.
And so they kind of just go through and tell you like stuff that's happening in different promotions and whatnot. You know, stuff that you kind of already knew. But like... Yeah, I mean, nothing really here. I mean, I do like seeing some pictures. You know, it is fun for the pictures, though.
Yeah.
Because you get, you know, you get your pictures of Hogan, and sometimes you get to, like, the independent stuff. We got Greg the Hammer. The Hammer apparently was out of the WWF in the early, late 90s. But yeah, he came back.
Yeah, he like, left and then came back and then was a face for a little while. Like, inexplicably face. Like they, like,
I remember that, yeah.
Yeah, like, they never had a face turn for him. All of a sudden, he was just back and, like, he was a face.
He was back and he came back to job to Earthquake and IRS, respectively, at the SummerSlam and WrestleMania and SummerSlam.
Yeah. Like, I remember he came back at the Royal Rumble. Like, oh, it's the Hammer. And then,
did,
like,
you, by the way, did you see Zack Ryder had a video? Apparently, he found the Hasbro Greg Valentine figure of him in the
Rhythm and Blues.
The Rhythm and Blues.
Oh, wow.
Which apparently there's been a few that have existed, and he has them.
Wow.
He has one that's broken.
Wow.
But apparently, he got one that was a repainted, like, resin cast from, like, a Hasbro, somebody that worked at Hasbro. But now he has that because it was, because as the legend goes, it appeared in a Toys R Us catalog, yeah. But when it came out,
yeah.
It wasn't there.
Yeah.
And so eventually it got discontinued, probably because he left.
Yeah.
And eventually he came back, and then he came back and they just put out the mold and it just looked like, you know,
Greg Valentine. Yeah.
So yeah, but yeah, apparently he has that because that's the only thing that Zack Ryder's doing these days is just collecting Hasbro figures.
That's all I would be doing.
Yeah, you know what? Me too. Yeah, you know, good.
Why am I not doing that right now? That's a question.
He's found them all. He even has the prototype that they used of Macho Man in like the green tights.
Oh, okay.
Like the one that was like it was featured somewhere, and then they didn't release it with green tights, but he has a green tights one.
Wow.
So he has all of them. But I don't think there's any more you can get.
Yeah.
Which is kind of a bummer because now it's like, oh, man. Yeah, but although there was, what you call it? I actually was reading this on a blog. I guess there's a reason, and I never realized this. So, like, Doom had, for the Gloob figures, like, they showed up. When they showed to take the pictures of, for the figures, they just showed up in their, they didn't show up in their wrestling gear. They just showed up in, like, warm-up gear. So, like, the Ron Simmons figure is wearing sneakers and he's got, like, sweatpants on.
Yeah, I always wondered that.
He just showed up wearing that. Oh. And they just, like, okay, well, that's what he looks like. Instead of actually him wearing, you know, having his actually wrestling tights on. So, So that's the reason why. So Southern Report by South Carolina Williams. Well, we've got some old pictures. I got this old picture from the UWF.
Yeah.
Which I'm fascinated by, of Sting and Steiner tagging up.
Buzz Sawyer, isn't he dead by then already?
No, he's still alive. This is 90. He hasn't left. I don't think he's... he's already gone for WCW, but he hasn't... He's still... Nobody knows if he's gone yet or not.
Oh, okay.
So he's kind of just... Like, he hurt... I know he was out, because it was Wrestle War, he hurt himself. And that's already past that, but he hasn't shown up. R.I.P. Buzz Sawyer, by the way. Buzz Sawyer's fucking awesome.
Yeah, great times.
Yeah, I'm just talking about... Yeah, I just love these old pictures here. He gets this old picture of Piper. Probably an old picture of Robert Gibson.
Just a random photo of Robert Gibson. He's just like kind of like looks like he's out of breath.
And then you have this old photo of Rick Martel or Jake Roberts talking about the whole arrogance angle.
And like the photo of Jake Roberts is like from like 1980, and it's like a portrait from like the mall.
It is, yeah, yeah. Yeah, and then you got a random picture of
is it Butch Reed?
No, it's Ron Simmons tights because that's like the first wrestling photo he's ever taken. Like I think he's like actually it is because there's like nobody in the crowd. You can see it, but I always like that when they're like stock photos. Let's put them out there. Midlands Report, and then just more Big Two stuff. But then this is where we get into some guys that you haven't seen yet because we're talking about Windy City Wrestling.
Oh, okay.
Talking about Windy City Wrestling, and these are the Untouchables. You got Ice and Buster.
They kind of look like the Powers of Pain.
They do.
Yeah.
And they look pretty awesome, actually.
Yeah, they look very knockoff Powers
of Pain. Very knockoffs, but I kind of like that paint. It's not bad.
Yeah.
I also do like this, they're talking about Rick Martel and his feud with Jake, but they're showing a picture of Rick Martel wrestling Rene Goulet.
Wow.
From like the WWF 1980s.
Covered in chest hair, Rick Martel.
Yeah, Harry Rick Martel. Like, that's not him.
No.
So, and then we got some random guy. Ron Powers, 6'3", 245.
He was powerful.
He sure was powerful. I don't think he went anywhere, though.
No.
And then finally to the Western Report.
Yes, Los Angeles.
Talking about just random wrestling matches out here in California. It's a big scene. Big scene going on. And we're talking about... why are they talking about Stan Hansen here?
He must have wrestled out here.
He must have had something out here. Here's a picture of him wrestling Giant Baba from 1980. Oh,
they went so far west, they went east.
They went too far. they're already in Japan.
Yeah.
And then here's the best part. Here's the pictures of some good... Here's some good pictures here.
Yeah, that's...
You got the AIWA champion Samoan Bulldog body smashes CC Thunder while Mart the California Kid looks on. I kind of want to see some video of this because you got this. You got the lovely valet Lori and Mike the Alaskan York stand by their man Vicious Shane Cody.
I love that photo. That's such a great photo.
That's a good photo. Though these guys need to go in the game.
I agree 100%.
Also, Luscious Luke. Luscious Luke can make his way in there too.
I love this photo. He's just like waving hi, and he's kind of got like a
he's like a slim Adrian Adonis.
Yeah. Oh man, I'll put all these photos on my Instagram. Hi, I love everybody in wrestling, but the competition gets tough when the going gets tough.
Oh. Yeah. And then finally the Caribbean report.
Caribbean, and they got your who's who in the Caribbean. Mr. Pogo looks like a good time.
Yeah, Mr. Pogo.
Greg Valentine, I guess, wrestled in the Caribbean.
He stopped off there, and then we have a picture of.
Angelo Poffo and Lanny Poffo.
Yeah, because they're talking. Lanny Poffo was out there, and they decided to talk about him. So they decided to show this picture of him and his dad.
Yeah,
which I've never seen. You don't see many pictures of Angelo Poffo.
No,
in his gear. This is supposed to been like on the end of it, but he kind of looks like Angus Scrimm.
Yeah,
with like his hair. Angelo Poffo does. It's pretty wild. Yeah, some good photos in this book, man.
It's a great photo book. I'll put some on my Instagram. Check it out at Sweatpants Joe on Instagram.
Stanley Way Manor does not disappoint.
No.
When you get yourself some late 80s, early 90s wrestling worlds, he knows how to do it.
Yeah.
So we have to give him a shout out.
Shout out to Stanley Wayne Manor and everyone at the Wrestling World crew circa 91.
Hell yeah.
Because it might not have come across in this episode because we didn't really talk a whole lot just because the pictures in this one are just incredible. Yeah.
Because the stories really aren't much. That's
the stories were kind of meh, but the pictures.
Because the journalism in these books is kind of like Stately Wayne Manor. Wayne does his thing.
Yeah.
And then a bunch of other people write these other things, or whoever else is writing these other things. But they're just kind of a lot of like matter of fact, like here's a bunch of facts and here's a bunch of, you know, here's a bunch of stuff about this guy. And here's, you know, here's some hypothesizing.
Yeah. They don't go into storylines. They don't go into feuds. Yeah.
I mean, they do kind of break it down in the reports and they kind of talk about the angles more in depth there. But you kind of get distracted by the pictures because you're kind of like, man, I want to, because that's what I would, actually, that's what I want to see these for.
Yeah.
Well, I'm really excited for, because I want to see these pictures, because then you get to see like the different outfits. There was a thread that I came upon and I haven't seen, I didn't get to see too many pictures on it, but there was a thread that I came upon on one of those like message boards that's like alternate attire thread. And it just had like all these like off colored, you know, attires that you don't get to see very often of like Bret Hart and all these things. And, man, that's where I don't know, that's where my interest is. I don't know why.
Yeah,
I don't know why, but it just is.
It's our thing.
That's our thing.
Well, I like to find the action figures of the alternate attire and then post photos of them.
Hell yeah. Or make them in our games. That's one of those things where I'm like, oh man, well, Al Perez had this color and he had this color. I have to make these both. It's very important.
Yeah, that's what I did with Butch Reed. I found somebody's Butch Reed and then I enhanced him and I made him good and more accurate and I gave him the actual height and weight and stuff because this guy screwed it up. But yeah.
Some people screw those up really bad.
Yeah, it's like, just do a Wikipedia search and look up their height and weight, for crying out loud. It's like, it's not that hard. Butch Reed was not 220 pounds. Sorry. Get to break it to you.
Also, get their faces. I mean, try to at least get their faces right.
Yeah.
People don't even try. People don't even try sometimes. I'm just like, man, that doesn't look like Butch Reed.
Yeah. Well, this one, they use the face photo of him, yeah. So it looks like him. Yeah.
The Harley race I have is really good, though. Yeah. I'm pretty proud of that one. Well, I'm not proud of it. I didn't do it. I made a Robert Fuller.
Mm-hmm. Did you upload those, by the way?
I uploaded a Robert Fuller. Yeah. I uploaded a Robert Fuller. And also,
because I saw it in the Wrestling Legends forum. Shout out to those guys.
Yeah.
We got to start posting this podcast in that forum so they're aware of it. So because we talk about them a lot.
We should do that. I think they would probably appreciate that.
Yeah.
We talk about, maybe I'll have to mention it when this comes, you know, maybe when this comes out.
What's that guy's name? The guy who runs the forum?
I think it's Dave?
Dave, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know his whole name.
We met Dave a bunch of years back when he roomed with the Big Mosh.
That's right.
Yeah.
But yeah, so I made Robert Fuller, and I made Rufus R. Jones. I got Rufus R. Jones. I've got an Italian Stallion.
Oh, wow.
Got an Italian Stallion. I'm not very proud of it though, because you can't get the mullet right.
No, you can't.
It's not a good Italian Stallion. I'm not happy with it. I made a Savannah Jack from UWF, former UWF TV champion Savannah Jack, and I feel like I have one other that I'm forgetting, but I have those. And granted, you know, you can't post everything. I don't know how to. Do I have to like post like other shit so I can get my downloads up? Is that how that works?
You gotta create like a really good like current wrestler.
Whatever.
Yeah.
I don't
blame you.
Because that's the thing, I want to be able to post more than five things, but I can't because all these other jerks have all these other shit up.
Yeah.
It's all garbage.
Yeah.
Here's my guy that looks like an asshole.
Here's my Roman Reigns in a different trunks.
Yeah. But here's the thing, people need that.
Yeah.
But it's still, but it's taking up fucking space. Maybe that's what I need to do, is I need to make alternate attires.
Yeah.
And post those so I can get some fucking traction. Jesus Christ. I'm apoplectic. Well, that's it for this week's show.
Yeah, find us on Twitter and Instagram, Sweatpants Joe.
And Angry Hero Sean. And, of course, you can find us on Facebook at I Could Talk Kayfabe.
Yeah, like the page. Go ahead and join our discussions that we like to have on there. It's fun.
Yeah, and please rate us 5 stars on Apple Podcasts. Rate and review. Leave a review. It helps us out. Tells people that you're listening to the show. And we'd really appreciate that. So, anything else we need to talk about?
No, that's it. I'm trying to think of a wrestler to talk about.
Yeah, let's find somebody. Let's find somebody. I like doing like the catchphrases that we don't really know.
We talked about Tom Zank a lot. I kind of feel like we deserve his catchphrase, but
he doesn't have a catchphrase.
He doesn't have one.
Let's see. I'm looking at Ron Simmons.
Does he have a catchphrase?
Of course he does.
What was it?
Damn.
Oh, that catchphrase.